The title for my offertory is BNPL. BNPL. Now, BNPL is an acronym, and I will give anybody here $5 if they know what BNPL means. Everybody's looking, but nobody knows. I am safe this time. BNPL stands for Buy Now and Pay Later. As I was researching this subject, I found out this type of payment system actually has traces back to the 19th century. Essentially, what it is postponing payment, and it's the ability to break large purchases into smaller installments. Many people like to do this as it's an attractive way for a buyer who may be short on cash or whose budget doesn't allow to purchase something big all at once. Yes, many people buy houses and cars and large ticket items, but this is not essentially what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is smaller purchases than a house or a car. Over the past few years, I'm sure you have seen, I personally have noticed that here in the US, there's been a massive trend towards ordering things online. Lots of shopping is done online these days. And there's been an influx of these credit companies handing out these BNPL loans. Maybe you've heard some of these companies' names, such as Affirm, Klarna, which is a European company, Afterpay, or Sezzle. All these are just a few that pop up when you're shopping online. There was a report on about BNPL on RetailDive.com, and I wanted to pull a few paragraphs from one of their articles. It says, among all users, one-off BNPL use is rare, meaning people use it repeatedly. The New York Fed said, about 72% of financial stable BNPL users and 89% of financially fragile users have made multiple purchases using BNPL over the past 12 months, researchers said. Compared to nearly 30% of all financially fragile users, just 14% of financially stable users have turned to BNPL 10 or more times in the past year. Say BNPL 10 times fast. It's very tongue-tying. Use by the later group drops off substantially after a few times, although a smaller group turns to it frequently. When respondents were asked why they use BNPL, both groups emphasized the appeal of spreading out payments over weeks. However, financially fragile users tend to talk about the ease of access or a lack of money upfront to make purchases, while financial stable users mention the appeal of no interest and the ability to spread payments without using a credit card. All of this, to me, is a little bit sad. And we live today in one of the richest times in human history. It is possible to take all the money that is being wasted on wars, on governmental programs, and it would be possible to end things such as poverty and homelessness, people and children starving each day. You know, this concept of buying that which we want and pushing off the consequences, especially if you can't afford that in the long run, has consequences. If you were to go to the USDE BT clock, so the usdebtclock.org, you would see a live view of our national debt. And it's truly astounding. There's a live view of tons of numbers just counting all up at once. And it's quite impressive, and it's dizzying at the same time to think that all this money is just being put out there. You know, within the last few days, many news outlets have reported on the IMF, the International Monetary Fund. And one of their newest warnings was on the United States national debt. They said, something will have to give. CNN's headline take on IMF statement was, America debt problem is storing up trouble for the rest of the world. Fox News stated, under current policies, public debt in the U.S. is projected to nearly double by 2053. Double the 70-something trillion dollars we owe now. The IMF identified large fiscal slippages in the U.S. in 2023, with government spending surpassing revenue by 8.8% of GDP, a 4.1 increase from the previous year, despite strong economic growth. Meaning we're spending almost 9% more than we're making as a country. How long is that sustainable? Really think that all this comes down and it has to do with the heart. It comes down to the human spirit, the carnal spirit of get, of want and desire. These things have been around since the creation of man. Satan told Eve, look at that fruit. Look at what it can do for you. Look what God is withholding from you. Don't you want it? This mindset, this attitude is essentially what drove Satan to become what he is. This spirit of greed is overpowering in this world. In James chapter 4 and verse 1, James tells us, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have, you murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. The opposite of get is give. The opposite of Satan's way is always opposed to God's. Everything that is wrong and rotten and evil in this world is easily identifiable if one's heart is open to seeing it. All this financial upset and turmoil, it's directly correlated to war, to how people spend their money, and they never end up getting what they want. And if they do, it's never enough. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1, we read this. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. The Bible reiterates that in order to be like God, we have to be seeking what is best for others. A different way of thinking that goes contrary to this world's main way of thinking. What if the entire world thought exactly how is laid out as we just read in the scripture? Can we imagine what it would be like? The opportunities for us to give back to God then is a test of our heart. It is a test of our character. It is dependent upon self-examination and the desire to give back to God what he has given to us. More importantly, though, it is where our hearts truly are when we offer our offering. In Psalm chapter 37 and verse 4, it says, "Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." Giving of ourselves, it comes from our hearts. How much time have we spent in looking at our hearts, meditating, spending time talking with God and asking for wisdom and understanding in this area? You know, the Apostle Paul, the Apostle James, excuse me, said that God gives grace to the humble. Grace is something that we all desperately need in our lives. The ability to come before God and call upon his great power. And that is something that almost no one in this world can claim. That's something that no amount of money can buy. But that is the opportunity that each of us possess if we choose that way. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, it says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Brethren, this is power. This power that we can receive from God comes from being humble and being willing to submit to the creator of the universe. There has to come a time in our lives where we stop doubting and start living by the faith of Christ, which should be living and dwelling in each of us. During the Passover, we read where Christ plainly told the disciples that the things that he did, we will do, and even greater, so that God may be glorified. And we cannot be afraid as we continue living this life. But we have to turn to God with full faith and full confidence in him. In Hebrews 11 and verse 6, it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Diligently seeking God day and night, giving no rest to God, crying out to him when we need help, bringing honor and praise and glory to his name. When we align our hearts with God all the way through, that's when we have the ability to tap into the power of God. And when we have this power resting within us, we don't have to fear. We can walk with the joy and the peace that Christ spoke about giving us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 3 and 4, Paul says, 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 3, "Since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, who is not weak toward you, but mighty in you. For though he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you." While humanly speaking, we are weak, we can also, at the same time, be strong spiritually by and through the power of God. the Passover reiterated for me that that helper that Christ spoke about in John 16, the Father's Holy Spirit, His Holy Spirit, is poured out into us. In John chapter 17, Christ was praying to the Father for the disciples at that time. But He also specifically went on to say that He was praying for the people who would come in the future. That is you and I. That is a tremendous thing to think about, to realize that Christ was praying for us. Our offerings today need to be based on our understanding of what God is using us for. In truly relying on Him for everything, our offerings then are an extension of our faith in Him. It's also a challenge for us that God puts down. Will we take up this offering seriously? Will we take on the power of God and accomplish what He has designed for us? Or we will make our offering and just continue on our way. Which one will it be?